Now, this was very surprising to myself and may well be to you too, is that in fact, one in six people suffer from hearing loss, which can lead to a number of social and general lifestyle challenges. Now, the Ear Science Institute are dedicated, which is fabulous, to helping people with ear and hearing disorders through research, education and bringing innovations into medicine and audiology. Professor Melanie Ferguson joins us in the studio. Lovely to see you, Melanie, Head of Brain and Hearing Team from the Ear Science Institute and also Associate Professor here at Curtin.
That's correct, yes.
Thank you for coming.
Associate Professor in Brain and Hearing, yes.
Look, you know, of course, very much so, that a loss of hearing can affect your lifestyle dramatically, can't it?
Absolutely. I think people often underestimate the impact of hearing loss. It's often seen as an invisible sort of disability. You can't see it, but it can have a really profound effect on people's lives in a whole number of different aspects.
I'll get you to explain the reasons, a lot of the reasons for hearing loss, mm-hmm. and there's industrial and there's that sort of thing, mm-hmm. and age, I suppose, as well. But babies can be born with a hearing problem, massive hearing problem, can't they?
Yeah, I think it's about 1 in 1,000 babies are born with hearing loss. So it is a real issue, and particularly if you're born with hearing loss, it can lead to lots of difficulties around learning language and that kind of thing. And in fact, in Australia, in the UK, in the US, there is neonatal screening now. So when babies are born, it is routine for them to have a hearing test. In fact, even when my babies were born, and that was quite some years ago, they had the what we call a neonatal hearing screen within a couple of days.
That's a wonderful thing to know about it, but then we have to know what to do about it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Early detection, early intervention. It's one of the sort of mottos, one of the sayings for our research, but it goes across the whole of hearing loss. So with babies, it's essential to detect any hearing loss as soon as possible, and then you can treat it. And there's loads of evidence to show that when babies with hearing loss are treated early, either with hearing aids or cochlear implants, their outcomes are massively improved.
That does make a sense. I was getting to the fact that there's nothing through surgery or whatever that can be done, but it's a treatment that will help them get through. Hearing aids at a young age, cochlear implants. Can I just ask you the procedure with cochlear implant? Is that a surgery or?
Yeah, it's a surgical procedure. So what the surgeon does is he goes in just behind the back of the ear and puts in what they call an electrode. So it's like a curly, snail-like electrode to fit the shape of what we call the cochlear or the inner ear. And the electrode goes in and there's like a receiver that's kind of magnetically attaches to the head.
Yeah.
And it's a fantastic intervention. And as you know, it was pioneered in Australia many years ago.
And it's probably around the world and well received.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. We've seen a massive increase in the number of cochlear
implants. We see some lovely vision of the baby hearing for the first time, you know, the mother speaking to them and that sort of thing. Mm. So as the baby grows, is there an adjustment to that implant?
The implant itself sort of grows with the baby, then you know, obviously the children will have their hearing tested and they can have changes to their devices as time goes by.
Is there a distortion in what they hear? With the sound?
Yeah, the sound through a cochlear implant isn't like you hearing me. Sometimes it's called sort of electric hearing, and when you hear sort of you know, what it sounds like to listen through a cochlear implant at first, it sounds a little bit weird, but the results that people can get from cochlear implants can be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
And we've seen huge improvements over the last 3 or 4 decades in terms of how well people can hear, discriminate speech. It's really fantastic, yeah.
It's communication. You know, and not to have that. What about age groups? I know I'm dwelling on this a wee bit, but, you know, to have a family dealing with it with their baby is a sad thing. But as they get older, or if somebody loses their hearing later in life, can this be an option?
Yeah, it can. I mean, we know that age-related hearing loss is the main cause. Age is the main cause of hearing loss. And we know that probably from about the age of about 50, people's hearing starts getting worse. And we see quite a sharp increase as people get older. some people who are adults who can have cochlear implants for age-related hearing loss if it gets to a certain level of hearing. So you need to have quite severe hearing loss to have a cochlear implant.
Okay, but it is being embraced?
Yeah, in fact, there's quite a move at the moment to try and encourage more adults to have cochlear implants. Only something like, I think it's like about 8% of, 5 to 10% of people who would benefit from a cochlear implant has one. So there's a big move to try and encourage more people to have cochlear implants because the impact of being able to hear compared to not being here is absolutely huge, and it's all about the communication.
It totally is. Yeah. You're absolutely right. And the isolation that would set in.
That's
for people
right.
that don't like to go out because they can't hear properly and it's just a noise, that sort of thing.
That's right.
Now, you're touching on the fact that the age has a lot to do with the loss of hearing as you get older. I guess it's deterioration.
Yeah, it's just as people get older, in the same way that you might notice that you need glasses for reading.
Sure.
It's the same. In fact, actually, hearing age-related vision and age-related hearing loss often go hand in hand, so they start around about the same age.
Everything gives way at the same time.
Everything gives way, yeah. So it's just general wear and tear.
There are other things, I suppose, in life that contribute to hearing loss. Industrial noise.
Yeah, noise is the second main cause or the biggest cause for hearing loss. And if we sort of go back to when I was an audiologist a number of decades ago, we were seeing a lot of people with industrial noise, or I was seeing people who had been in the Second World War, for example, and had terrible hearing loss or had been in battle. Now we're seeing fewer people coming in with occupational noise because there are many more regulations in terms of health and safety. And there's a sort of real increase or real awareness amongst younger people now wearing, you know, sort of iPods and
good point.
You know, playing their music too loud. So I think this, well, I know the stats are there are about 1 billion young people worldwide who are at risk of having hearing loss. So
today?
Yeah, so prevention of hearing loss is essential because in most cases, once you've got a hearing loss and you've had damage to the very small hair cells within the cochlea, within the inner ear, it's really, that's it.
You can't repair it, can you?
You can't repair it.
It's very sensitive, isn't
although
it?
Although we are doing some research at the Ear Science Institute Australia to look to see if we can repair and regenerate hair cells. And there's work going on here in Perth at the Ear Science Institute Australia and in other key organisations around the world to see if we can regenerate hair cells.
That is amazing.
To you know, I mean, that would be amazing. And some years off. But that would be
fantastic.
That's
what the Science Institute are working on, of
course.
That's
right. That's
the future.
That's one of the projects that we're working on.
So the early symptoms, would it be that obvious, do you think, that you're going to sort of develop this situation? I mean, by saying excuse me or pardon, I mean, that's an obvious one.
Yeah, that you've absolutely hit the nail on the head. It's a very sort of slow, you know, it sort of creeps up on people, hearing loss. So if you were to start having hearing loss and hearing difficulties, what people do is they start saying, pardon, sorry, what's that? And they start noticing it. Quite often people don't recognise that they're saying it or they blame other people. So a common saying would be, oh, it's not me, you know, the youth of the day are mumbling and they don't speak clearly. If you find yourself or people find themselves thinking that, the chances are it's probably them.
Do you know what I think it is? Because I've got bad hearing in one ear. It has when I was in my 30s, it just happened by overnight one night. But it doesn't really matter. But I'm just, it's, what happens is, it's just noise.
Yeah.
You can't differentiate.
Right.
Is that right? Is that normal?
That's
right.
One of the main complaints or problem people have with hearing loss is difficulty listening in background noise. So, again, you've hit the nail on the head. So you can probably manage okay in a situation like
you're
this.
You're sort of
lip quiet. You're lip read, you're seeing me.
You look at body language.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And in the quiet, you can pick it up as long as your hearing isn't that bad.
Yeah.
And you've got...
I tell you what, the masks were a problem.
Oh, yeah.
For most. I mean, we don't lip read completely, don't get me wrong. But anyway, that's beside the point.
Well, the thing is, I noticed the masks were having problems. If I was on a train or even if I was just in the shops, I guess I'm the age where my hearing's going a little bit. And it was a big issue. And it was a big issue in our world, in the audiology world, around how do we help people communicate and hear. Well, when they come to clinic.
If you start to question yourself, like you've pointed out, and it is fairly obvious, don't get me wrong. I mean, it's just a noise when you go out somewhere, if there's a crowd of people and you can't differentiate anything. So should people act on that fairly quickly?
Absolutely. In fact, if there's one message that I'd like to get you across to your audience today is, if you notice that you have difficulties, you're saying, pardon what, you're not quite catching what people are saying, go and get your hearing tested. Go to an audiologist and get your hearing tested. Don't put it off. So there's a lot of data showing that people wait on average 9 years from when they first notice hearing difficulties.
And you know why, don't you?
To getting help. Yeah, there's loads of reasons. One of them is stigma, people associated with old age.
That's right.
So go and get your hearing tested by an audiologist. They can help you. And there's evidence to show that if you do get help with your hearing loss, if you get hearing aids or some other kind of device to help you, you will have better outcomes because you're able to get used to the hearing aids better when you're younger.
As you're younger,
yeah,
right.
And your brain is really important.
I was going to ask you the connection there.
People think of hearing as being, it's about my ears. Actually, when we're talking about hearing, we're really thinking about listening, and we're
thinking
about you hear with your ears, but you listen with your brain. So the brain is absolutely key.
It's very interesting.
For us to be able to listen and to communicate.
Because you're analysing what someone's saying to you. And if you can't hear, then of course you're not able to do that.
Right, and the brain is processing in so many different ways, so you can understand speech.
Hello, Carol.
Yeah, hello there, Jenny. How are you?
Good, thank you. Melanie is with me.
Hi, Carol.
Yes. Melanie, just touched on it brain. I can notice
here. Your phone's breaking up a bit. I'm sorry, Carol. Can you just keep going? It's not your fault. It's just our phone system, sadly. Go ahead.
Oh, no, it might be the area that I'm in. I'll make it quick then. The brain processing. I notice that sometimes I have actually heard. It's just taken me a second or two to work it out. So I'm wondering whether that's brain processing power or whether it's actually the ears.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have to, what the brain does when your ears pick up the signals and the sound is being processed, it processes it in what we call timing, so temporal cues. So you're absolutely right. It takes a little bit of time for the brain sometimes to process exactly what's being said. And that's mainly at the brain rather than at the level of your ears. Although there is some processing that takes place from the brain.
Connected, isn't it?
100% connected, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And are you struggling, Carol?
Well, my husband and I have both said to each other, we must give each other a chance just to process, rather than saying, did you hear me, or following up immediately with another question, because sometimes it's just that, and it's really only a second or two, where you're thinking, and then you realise you did actually, especially if you say, can you repeat that? And then when they do, you realise you did actually hear them, but maybe your brain is slowing down.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, I think actually what you said there is really good, Carol, because actually you and your husband are kind of working out between you how to manage things, and that is really important. If you can work these things out together, then, that
working
well
as a team.
Yeah,
teamwork. You're covering up, but when you meet strangers, it's a bit different.
Yeah, but teamwork with your partner's good.
Just about to go to a break. Finally, Carol, have you actually gone along to see an audiologist?
I have, and I was told that I was on the low side of normal, and I probably had another year or two before I would need to do something about it.
Okay.
And I need to go back, yes.
Good on you.
Yeah. Just to say one thing, I mean, not everybody's sort of would fit the criteria for hearing aids, but there are new devices coming onto the market called hearables, which are cheaper and for people with mild hearing loss. They're relatively new. We're doing some research on this. We're just starting to do some research on this. And so there are other options.
How
other
far
than
away?
Hearing aids.
How far away?
Are they available?
What are they called?
Hearables.
Hearables.
So these are devices they're consumer products. You can get them online.
Okay.
I can't recommend a particular brand right now because we don't have that. But have a look online. They're much cheaper. maybe 100, a couple of hundred.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really. Whereas hearing aids are much more expensive. So okay. Go have a look at that, Carol.
Thank you, Carol, very much for calling.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now, if you would like to call us, please do. Curtain Radio. And we're talking to Professor Melanie Ferguson, Head of Brain and Hearing at the Ear Institute of Australia. Thank you for coming in. I really appreciate
it's my
that.
Pleasure.
And I can hear you because I've got a headset on. And we say good afternoon to Michael. Michael, good afternoon there.
Good afternoon to you both. Hi. Yeah, I'm just calling in about the cochlear implant. My stepdaughter, who's in her 40s, she had a cochlear implant maybe 7 years odd ago, and very successful. It was very expensive. It was about $30,000. And now she is under the NDIS for mm-hmm. other things, and she has to have an upgrade. Now, that is in the region of about $10,000 for an upgrade on it. She is under Royal Perth Hospital, and we are in negotiations at the moment with the NDIS because they're saying there's not sufficient funds in her account for it. So, so it's very good, but could be very expensive.
Any other solution, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, upgrade is something that your daughter will need at some point. You said she had it for 7 years, so at some point it's going to become, not obsolete,
outdated.
But it's going to become a little bit outdated. I think you've got some years to go yet. I mean, there is, I know that the Department of Health are looking at upgrading some people who've got cochlear implants, and where I worked over on the east coast of Sydney, we were doing a project around that. So, I mean, it's
at a
good,
lower cost?
Well, some of these people who had their devices for a long time were getting them for free.
That's what I was thinking.
But I think, Michael, your daughter, she's only had it for 7 years, but I would... I think you're doing the right thing. You're talking to the Royal Perth Hospital, you know, you're talking to NDIS.
Would be 7 or 8 years, but they said an upgrade is needed now. So, yeah, we're in the process of discussing with NDIS at the moment.
Yeah, and I would keep on with those discussions and sort of push hard to go and get an upgrade.
We are.
Don't be discouraged because, you know, she's probably okay now, but, you know, you're thinking about the next couple of years, so I think you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, good luck to you.
Yeah good luck.
Okay.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you very much.
Yes, that is a, you know, the obvious thing, isn't it? Is that people have to find the funding to get this done, and to upgrade, you know, through their lives, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Now, what about fundraising for research? How do you go about that?
Yeah, so there is the ESIS Institute. Institute Australia has sort of a fairly active fundraising department. And if should anybody want to contribute or donate anything, there's the Gift of Hearing. I understand that there's a secret auction going to take place soon. Somebody has offered 21 bottles of apparently fantastic red wine. apparently, they've been signed by some liberal politicians. I'm not quite sure who they are. I'm not quite sure how popular they'd be in Western Australia.
They might be drinking it now.
But 21 bottles. So if you were interested, take a look at the secret auction on the Ear Science Institute.
Earscience.org.au.
That's right.
Oh,
yes.
Look, please help them out because, you know, all of us are going to need people like yourself in the near future.
That's right.
Very good afternoon to you. Kerry, g'day.
Oh, hi. I've been listening for bits and pieces of your show. Just really wanting to ask a question. My husband's been diagnosed with tinnitus.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any help in that department with hearing things?
Yeah, there is. I mean, there's been help available on tinnitus for quite a few decades. Has he been to see an audiologist?
He's had a two-hour test done with an audiologist. And he has been diagnosed. They suggested some form of hearing aid.
Yes, I was going to say there are two sort of main sort of ways of managing tinnitus, and one is with a hearing aid because often people with tinnitus also have hearing loss as well.
Mm.
So the hearing aid will help the hearing loss, and it'll also, because people can hear louder, it plays a role of sort of covering up The tinnitus. So the tinnitus isn't so audible, so they don't hear it so much. So hearing aids are a way of being able to help with tinnitus. There's also the option of cognitive behavioural therapy. So that's relatively new. It's probably been around a few years.
How does that work?
How does it work? Cognitive behavioural therapy. Well, it's sort of sits in the domain of psychologists rather than audiology. But certainly the Lyons Hearing Clinic, who are part of EarScience, where I work, they work very closely with a psychologist who will sort of kind of look at the person as a whole as well as looking at the...
How to cope.
How to cope, because there is a strong coping aspect around tinnitus. So you could maybe try and seek some advice there as well,
Kerry. As an alternative. The audiologist would be able to give the better recommendation.
Yeah, because they're able to look at your husband in the whole and, you know, they've obviously suggested hearing aids. Cognitive behavioural therapy is another option. But the thing is, there used to be a sort of sense that we can't do anything about tinnitus, and that's not true. So,
what sort of noise is he hearing, Kerry?
It's only in one ear at the present time, and he's been retired a couple of years, and since he gave up work, this has come to a head. He never had it as while he was working, and it's like a buzzing, ringing noise.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, so tinnitus is a bit like hearing loss. You're more likely to get it as you get older.
What has caused it?
Oh, there's loads of different theories around it. Sort of biofeedback loops, neural loops. There's probably a lot of different ways that tinnitus can be caused.
But it often goes with hearing loss.
Yeah, there's a strong association between
so
hearing loss and tinnitus.
So he might have that problem, Kerry, hearing loss.
Yeah, he has worked with machines most of his life.
Right.
So there you go.
Tinnitus...
Yeah, he'll need to go back and see the Lyons people and maybe see the psychologist side of it as well, maybe.
Definitely.
Because it does change the people that have the tinnitus. It bothers them, and I feel sorry.
That's horrible.
For them.
Yeah, there's a lot of, there can be quite a lot of anxiety, depression associated with tinnitus, as with hearing loss as well.
And you focus on it, you wait for it, you anticipate it.
It can be quite troublesome. So definitely go back
maybe
to the audiologist.
Back to the Lyons people,
definitely. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kerry. Much agree. Are there any other noises that you get with tinnitus by chance?
There's loads of different noises.
I've got crickets.
Oh, right. Oh, really?
Which is quite pleasant, actually. I prefer a magpie warble. If I had a choice. But at least crickets are okay, they're restful, but a screaming noise would be terrible.
I mean, tones, people can have tones, they can have like a background noise, it can be high-pitched, low-pitched, it can be loud, it can be quiet, it can vary from individuals. So
if I go to bed at night, that's the worst thing.
That is the worst thing, and it can interrupt sleep. So, you know, anything that people can do to sort of calm down the tinnitus before they go to bed is a good thing, and that's where the behavioural cognitive therapy comes in.
But like you suggested, if they have this hearing problem, they may not even be totally aware of it. If they deal with that with a hearing aid, then that may take over the tinnitus.
Yeah, that's right. It can sort of, it doesn't cover it up completely, but it just takes away the edge and calms it down. And
okay, look, you're doing incredible work. And just give us an idea of what you said those little things for the ear now are called, bobbles?
Hearables, yeah. So
Are they tiny?
I mean, you could see them in people's ears. They're not sort of invisible, but they're consumer products rather than medical products, which is what a hearing aid is. And, you know, we're doing some work on this at the moment to find out what people think, you know, how they'd go about getting them. We would like to run a trial comparing them to hearing aids. And so I think what we're going to see over the next couple of years is an increase in these kind of products, which I think is fantastic because they're less expensive, and only one in three people who would benefit from a hearing aid has one. So there's a huge unmet need. And as we know, we've talked about problems with communication, but we also know that people who don't have their hearing loss managed are at greater risk of getting dementia, along with other mental health problems. So that's quite a that's quite a big issue, which has been around for about 5 years, and we're doing some research at the moment to see if we can sort of slow down
it may mean that nobody needs to have bad hearing. They might be able to do something. That's the hope, isn't it?
To help with the hearing, yes, you mean? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's rare that you can't help somebody with the hearing. And there are lots of different options. It's not just about hearing aids. We've got hearables. There are other sort of remote devices, so little microphones you can put on the desk or you can wear around your neck. There's loads of different options that people can have. It's not just about hearing aids. But the first thing to do, if you notice difficulties, is get your hearing tested.
That's what you've stressed, definitely.
Yeah, and with hearing aids nowadays as well, hearing aids have often had bad press. People remember the old plastic hearing aids from years ago, and they're much better now. A lot of hearing aids are operated by smartphones, so you can adjust the sound to what you like, and you don't get this sort of feedback or this background noise that people complain about. So my second message is, if you're going to get a hearing aid and you've got a smartphone and you're pretty familiar with using smartphones, try and get a smartphone-connected hearing aids, because we know that the outcomes are
unbelievable. There's so much out there now. Pleased that you've been able to explain a lot of that to people that have probably put it off because of a lot of reasons you mentioned, feeling a little bit embarrassed. So to go and find out about all these options now, just go to an audiologist. Is it a specialist that you need to go to, a referral by a general practitioner?
I think it used to be in Australia that you needed a GP referral, but not now. So you can walk in off the street. So any audiologist. We mentioned Lyons earlier, and they're all over the place. You know, you kind of go down Stirling Avenue Highway, wherever. They're all over the place. So, I would strongly recommend getting your hearing tested and getting advice from an audiologist.
There's only one good thing about having one ear that you have a problem with hearing is if you don't want to hear any noise, you lay on your good ear and you can't hear the traffic. It's very handy.
So you don't listen to the air conditioning in the height of the summer like we had this year, so you actually go to sleep more easily. There are some pluses.
Selective hearing. Yeah. It's lovely to have spoken to you. And people wish to go to your website for your silent auction, earscience.org.au. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine there's a lot more information there as well.
Yeah,
about loads what you've been talking about.
Loads of information. And if anybody's got any particular questions that they have, I think there's somebody who might be available after the show.
Oh, okay.
From your show.
Well, they can ring here and leave their number.
Or they can contact us at Ear Science.
Absolutely right.
And look on the website.
Thank you very much, Melanie.
It's been a pleasure. Lovely to meet you, Jenny.
Professor Melanie Ferguson.